Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, I'm Ian Stone and welcome to the show. As April turns to May, the blossoms are in full bloom and the weather turns warmer. It's time for humans to emerge slowly from their winter hibernation and fully enjoy all that the natural world has to offer. Except, of course, for fans of the beautiful game who want to stay in and watch as many matches as possible. Because the football's on! Yes, here we are in the BT Sports studio, which doubles up as my youngest son's bedroom. Don't worry, he doesn't live here anymore. I told him we needed to make alternative arrangements while the series was happening, and he took it very well for someone who's only 12. This week, we'll be looking at the relegation dogfight, trying to find something annoying about Jurgen Klopp, and asking which player is the biggest waste of money. And for that, I'm joined by the head chef at the Michelin-starred Contented Farthing restaurant, Lloyd Griffith, and the lost sixth member of the boy band Blue, Elliot Steele. Elliot, what have you noticed?
This week I've noticed that Manchester United fans don't know how to stage a protest by wanting the Glazers out, so they keep buying all the merchandise, turning up to the game, letting off a flare saying we're going to walk out at the 73rd minute and then going, actually we're 2-0 up, so we're going to walk out at the 93rd minute, but that's just so we beat traffic on the way home. That's nothing to do with the ownership.
Well, all right, Elliot, but how would you stage a protest then? I mean, I understand about not buying merchandising, but what actually can they do?
Well, that's why I'm not in charge of these things. My plan would just be to get on with it. Do you know what I mean? And just, but you know, that's why people like me never really change the world. I'm very much one of the people you see in the photos of history going, don't be like this guy following the herd.
That's why we have you on the show, for your common touch, Elliot. Lloyd, what about you? What have you noticed?
Well, I noticed there was like two or three players for Man United. It was their last game. So Nemanja Matic, Juan Mata, and there was no song or dance. I mean, their custodians have been there for, you know, a fair time now. Maybe not as won as much as they thought they would. But, you know, they've been servants of Man United and they were just kind of like, just clapped off. No big song, no dance. Lingard didn't even get on the pitch. And I think that that's probably his last home game as well. And there was nothing. So I think that going forward, we should make a big song and dance about it. So you know how footballers now have to do an initiation song, you know, in the hotel the night before their first away game. I think they should do that same song, but at home, in front of like a full stadium, and they have to do a big, big old karaoke song at Old Trafford, like when Tyson Fury wins a boxing match. I mean, he gets on the mic and he starts singing, I mean, Armageddon song or whatever it's called by the. So I think that from now on going forward, when a footballer leaves the football club and it's amicable, then they have to do a big old song and dance, get the microphone out and do a bit of karaoke.
All right. They say that the best stories are those which start at the bottom and work their way upwards. Well, who are we to buck the trend? So we're going to begin by taking a look at the runners and riders in the race to beat the dreaded drop from the Premier League. Let's start with Everton. They gave themselves a fighting chance of staying up by somehow beating Chelsea at Goodison, despite only having 22% possession. But they're still in the bottom three. They've got a scrap on their hands and they might lose Richarlison for seeing a lit flare on the pitch and thinking, well, I should give that back to whoever threw it. Elliot, when I was growing up, the idea of Everton being relegated was unthinkable, but maybe it's different now. How do the youth feel about Everton?
They just kind of exist. Do you know what I mean? They're not really, you never go, oh, have you seen, did you watch the Everton game the other night? No, it was great, one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. But they have always been like a Premier League side. And the fact that, for years as well, that they've just spent the amount of money that they've spent is that you always kind of consider them a side that comes within the top eight. They'll probably get the Europa, they can maybe start pushing for Champions League when you start seeing the amount of money they spend. So the idea that they could go down would be very, very funny. Like, I like Everton fans. I think their fan base are great. It's nothing against the fan base. It's purely for how funny it would be that they've spent all that money and got relegated.
Elliot has definitely got a tour show in Liverpool in the next 3 months and he's covering his back there. Absolutely covering his back. Weak and feeble Lloyd, man.
Lloyd, Harry Redknapp apparently is currently advising Frank Lampard. Is that helpful, do you think? I mean, it's his uncle.
Well, I was going to say it's cheap because I'm guessing he's not having to pay for it. I don't know. It's a really, really weird one. No matter who is in charge of Everton, it doesn't even seem to go their way. I think we're going to chat about Carlo Ancelotti later. I think even when he was at Everton, his win rate with Roy Hodgson, I still can't say it. welcome to the Jonathan Ross Show. His win rate was 44%. Do you know what I mean? So Rafa Benitez, his win rate was a lot lower than that. As we see, you know, he got the sack. So it doesn't matter who goes there. And I don't want to say the club's cursed, but it just seems that no one can rescue them. Like no one, money at it. So something there is wrong. Whether someone needs to go and have a wee in the corner flag, I mean, to like get rid of some curse, I'm not entirely sure. But there's something a bit deeper, I think, than whoever's in charge.
Yeah, Elliot. Who buys Dele Alli and Donny van de Beek for a relegation fight? I mean, really.
But that's the thing, is you look at it and go, that shouldn't be a relegate. You look at their side and you go, it's too good a squad to go down. That's insane.
Yeah.
Jordan Pickford, like, and he was immense the other day, but Jordan Pickford
with his face.
Will still probably be the England keeper, you imagine. Like, they're not going to, I don't think Southgate's going to change too much from that Euro squad. But is there then going to be a world where Jordan Pickford's in the Championship playing for England? You know, that kind of, what happens if they do go down? Like, Richarlison and that all leave, won't they? They'll lose so much of their squad.
Also, as well,
that they paid if millions for.
If Everton do go down, and I love Jordan Pickford, I mean, we get on well. This will be the second.
Speaks highly of you.
Well, we both follow each other on Instagram. we both follow each other on Instagram. Every now and then, I send him a message. He never replies, and it's been about 13 messages now. So,
what are you saying to him?
What?
You're just like, oh, good game today,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, literally, well, I'm saying good game today. Oh, great game, good saves that. I like that bit of time wasting stuff like that. And I can see he's seen it because it says seen. So if he's watching this, Jordan, just do reply. But it'll be the second time that he gets relegated, which is insane. And let's just say, you know, Sam Johnson, who's at West Brom, you know, England could have two goalkeepers in their squad next season, both of which play in the Championship. So I personally don't think Everton are going to get relegated. I think there's going to be a small minor miracle. And I also hope they don't get relegated as well, because it's not an advert for English football, because the managers of the bottom three clubs are all English, which isn't great. So I'm hoping that Leeds slip in there, the American one takes one for the team, and Everton stay up.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll talk about Leeds in a minute. Let's talk about Burnley first. When they sacked Sean Dyche, we all thought it was the most stupid and self-destructive move since the owner of Blockbuster Videos decided that streaming would never catch on. But it may actually turn out to be some sort of masterstroke. They came from behind to beat Watford with two goals in the last 15 minutes. And they've moved out the bottom three for the first time in ages. Elliot, maybe they just needed a new voice in the dressing room, something a bit less gruff, perhaps. Maybe Joe Pasquale. That would have worked, wouldn't it?
I love Dyche. I say that like I'm his
Dyche.
Mate. But
do you follow each other on Instagram? Is that how it works?
No, we're not as good friends as Lloyd and Pickford, I'm afraid.
Jordan,
I'd love to be. I love the idea that. Well, I love the idea of being friends with Sean Dyche, though, because he looks great on a night out, don't he? Sean Dyche looks like there's a picture of him up in the strippers in Blackpool saying, "Do not serve this man." He's got that kind of vibe about him. But just watching him leave the Premier League was sad. But yeah, it is annoying that he's gone and everyone's gone. You know, it shows how little I as a football fan know, because I was like, that's disgraceful, sacking Sean Dyche, and now it looks like it's completely the right thing to do.
It does. Lloyd, I've changed my mind about Burnley. I mean, they've spent nothing, basically. No. Lukaku's wages for 3 months is what they've spent every year for the last 5 years. And I like him for that.
Yeah, well, I like Sean Dyche for that. And I just feel sorry for him because he was given absolutely no money for the whole period that he was there. So, you know, we talk about managers and their win rate. You've got to look at Sean Dyche going, he was working miracles at Burnley for so long, like scouting the market, bringing in the right players. And they've sold decent players in the last however many years. Like Kieran Trippier, for example, someone that people forget that he was at Burnley. I'm not sure if he was under Dyche, but don't quote me on that or even tweet me, please. Thank you. But they, you know, they have bought low and sold high. You know what I mean? We've all seen Wolf of Wall Street. That's how you do it, I think. So I think that Sean Dyche has done an amazing job with his replacement. I just hope that they get someone with the same kind of voice as him. As you say, if they get someone at Burnley, and I know this is, you know, I'm very weird thinking it. If they get someone who's less gruff, I think Burnley, they just won't know what to do. Do you know what I mean? They've had, "Yeah, hey, Dyche, how are you doing? You're right, great to see you. Right, lads, shin pads on, we're training." Do you know what I mean? Apparently Burnley wear shin pads during training. That just gives you the measure of the football club. Yeah. I don't think anyone can go in and be like, "Guys, we're doing zonal defending, okay? We're just going to chat through today. We're not going to do, you know, that." They need someone that's hard hitting. They won't know. It kind of comes and part with the territory. I'm not saying anything against Burnley. Luckily, I don't have any tour shows there, unlike Elliot. But it does seem, it's very salt of the earth, very kind of like, "Hey, come on, use your head." Do you know what I mean? So I hope that they... Who is in contention, actually, Stoney?
Well, we'll get to that. Who's in charge at the moment is Mike Jackson. Michael Jackson, I believe his name is. And he's the caretaker manager. And he was interviewed on Match of the Day at the weekend, and he looked slightly sheepish to be chatting to Lineker. I mean, Elliot, it's like the supply teacher doing parents' evening, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very much. I have the same thing when I come on this show and I'm with Lloyd. Oh, right. Lloyd Griffith's going to be there. The guy's followed by Jordan Pickford on Instagram.
Thank you.
Even if he ignores him all the time. The odds on the new manager, by the way, Wayne Rooney and Vincent Kompany are 3-1. Rafa's 7-2. Chris Wilder's 11-2. Sam Allardyce, of course, is in there at 14-1. Slaven Bilic, Michael Duff, the Northern Ireland manager, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is at 25. Any of those stand out, Lloyd?
For me, you've got to have Chris Wilder or Sam Allardyce. Maybe Slaven Bilic, but it's got to be, I think, Wilder, Sam Allardyce or Bilic. I think they are the true embodiment of what Burnley Football Club is about, mainly because of how they speak.
He's staying with this, Elliot.
I just don't think that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, with his lovely Nordic/Salford accent, is going to go down that well. So I think, and also Mike Jackson is the most Burnley name ever, do you know what I mean? He sounds like the landlord of the local pub. Do you know what I mean? Oh, I've been kicked out of.
I think that's who actually owns.
Been kicked out of the cricketers by Mike Jackson. Do you know what I mean? He's like a proper, like, it's like Paul Eckingbottom. Do you know what I mean? It's the most Leeds name ever. Paul Eckingbottom. Do you know what I mean? I can't believe that. So it's I think for me, it's got to be Wilder or Allardyce or potentially Bilic.
Yeah, I'm with Lloyd on this. You need to go with someone who looks like they can run a meat raffle at half time to manage Burnley.
All right.
That's what they should be picking their manager based on.
Yes, their ability to sell meat. I see
that. Surely that is what every manager, that is literally what they do, don't they? Do you know what I mean? Admittedly, you've got to call them players, but you know, you are literally just selling meat, aren't you? Hello?
All right, let's talk about Leeds, they didn't have a great weekend. Their principal rivals both won, as we said, and they got spanked at home by Manchester City. And yet, Jesse Marsh was blown away by how good the fans were. He said that while Man City might be the best team in the world, Leeds were the best club in the world. Lloyd, do we all want Leeds to stay in the Premier League? Because of their one club City, huge support?
I don't think many people want Leeds United to stay in the Premier League. If you if you listen to most football clubs' chants, Leeds United gets in there, no matter if you support Truro City, Carlisle, Grimsby or Manchester United. There isn't that amount of love for Leeds United. So I think if most football fans look at that, you know, look at the table, Leeds United will be the team that most people want to go down. They were lovely when they had Marco Bielsa. I mean, people liked that. I mean, it's the guy that wears his tracksuit in Asda and has a selfie with Tracy on checkout. I mean, everyone loved him. It was really nice. Whereas they've got Jesse Mersch from KPMG or wherever he's come from. I mean, he's too polished. He's too much of a smooth operator. I mean, he's read books about dating. No one likes him. I mean, we want Marco Bielsa back. He's called Marco Bielsa, isn't he? Yeah, I don't know.
Marcelo.
The thing is, though, again, we follow each other on Instagram. I call him Marco.
So never answered you once.
No, to be fair, he did, but it was always his translator doing the voice note. It was very weird. But yeah, so I think most football fans looking at that league, I think will say, look, we'll take Leeds, because whilst they do have the best fans in the eyes of Jesse, the bloke from Breaking Bad, know, it's they're not loved globally, shall we say?
I'm getting that. I mean, I don't know, Elliot. I quite like Elland Road. It seems like a Premier League ground to me. I mean, before the game, the Leeds fans were encouraged to make a mosaic. I don't know if you saw this. So paper was left on the seats, and all the Leeds fans were pelting Jack Grealish with it at a corner. I mean, there was a lot of litter to clear up, Elliot, wasn't there?
But you want that in the Premier League. You need that. You know, the Leeds fans were down at Selhurst the other week, and they were great. They were good fans. They're the best fans that I've seen, away support that I've seen this season, which isn't hard in the Premier League, to be fair.
No.
But they really did a great job of it. And it would be sad to see them go, but I would watch it and enjoy it. As they go telling us about how their amazing, expansive football that they play with Marcelo Bielsa is just
unmatched.
They did play
nice football.
Yeah, they did. And then they would lost 4-1 while doing it. But you'd go, but did you see the way they passed through the midfield and then lost 4-1?
They were essentially the string quartet on the Titanic. Do you know what I mean? They went down in a blaze of glory, but God, it looked good.
Yeah, we've got their remaining games, Leeds, Everton and Burnley. Leeds have got Arsenal coming up next at the weekend. I don't think any of those games are easy, but when you're at the bottom, I don't think any games do look easy. I think Leeds might be favourites at the moment. What do you reckon, boys?
I reckon I would take a Leeds staying up if it means they beat Arsenal, because the worst football fan I know is an Arsenal fan, and nothing would give me...
Oh, come on, Ian.
Not you, Ian. I think you're a very level-headed Arsenal fan, actually, but I don't know what it is about Arsenal, but you have the most deluded fan base of anyone other. And you're doing well. That's what's insane. You should be deluded, but you're deluded.
Excuse me, how did we end up talking about Arsenal? It's nothing to do with us. I should say, by the way, Norwich are down and Watford will almost certainly join them. In terms of Norwich and Watford, Lloyd, is it all about Delia? Is that it, really? Is that really the only thing we think about with Norwich?
Yes and no. I think it's Tim Krul as well.
Yeah.
They're just an absolute yo-yo club. I mean, they. It's almost like they're beating the system. They know how to earn like the most amount of money by getting up into the Premier League, then getting parachute payments, then getting up into the Premier League. I think in 10 years' time, I mean, there'll be a big investigation. Like, they fiddled the system. And in fact, they could have stayed up. They just chose not to. You know, they're benefits cheats, is what I'm saying. you just know that next year, about this time, maybe like a few weeks before, it'll be announced that Norwich have gone up automatically. And it always happens. And Watford will follow suit, do you know what I mean? And then the year after that, Fulham will be promoted from the Championship. Yeah. It's just the same old stuff over and over again. And it's fine, but it does feel like a Groundhog Day. And it's fine, but it does feel like Groundhog Day. And it's fine, but you get the joke, don't you? Okay, cool.
I think two would have been enough there, but I like your commitment to the third one, I must say. As well, I mean, it's the same for Watford. They've lost their last 11 games at home. And not only that, Elliot, the Harlequin Shopping Centre has lost John Lewis and possibly Marks and Spencers as well. I mean, is there no end to the suffering of their supporters?
Well, that's the real tragedy about them going down, is the John Lewis leaving. And Marks and Spencers. What are they being replaced by?
I don't know, a little stall just outside.
They're just going to plunk Roy Hodgson outside that as well.
Can I just say, as a Grimsby Town fan, someone that grew up in Grimsby, we have a Marks and Spencers, we have a John Lewis, but it's not the shop. We have a footballer called Lionel John Lewis. that's as middle class as we're getting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm amazed you've got a Marks and Spencers in Grimsby. If you want to
spot the richest people in Grimsby, it's not about where they live. You just want to go into Marks and Spencers 4 days before Christmas and see people with a trolley in Marks and Spencers food hall. They're the people that have absolutely rolled in it. Okay.
Oh, look at him with his airs and graces. His £2 ham. Anyway, just before. that's it for part one. In part two, we'll be taking a trip from Klopp to Flops. Part two of the Football Zone with me, Ian Stone, the mayor of Croydon, Elliot Steele, and Force's sweetheart, Lloyd Griffith. So, Jurgen Klopp made a video on the official Liverpool YouTube channel about extending his contract until 2026. Elliot, I'll start with you. I mean, obviously, aside from Manchester and the blue half of Liverpool, most of the football world, I think, were pleased. Do you have a secret crush on Jurgen Klopp?
I find him a fascinating manager because what I like about Jurgen Klopp is actually the bit that I don't think you should like about him, because I don't like that he puts on this friendly, ha-ha, yes, I'm here to drink the beer and oh, we have a good time and maybe we play the football and maybe we win, maybe we lose. But when you actually see him come off... Yeah, he's there.
It could have been more racist, could it, really?
but he is a deeply dark man who wants to win. They will never do an all is nothing Liverpool, because you'd actually see the real side of him where he's going nuts at the players and the nastiness, the part of him that you're not on for a quadruple without being led by an absolute psychopath who just wants to win everything. And that's who he is at his heart. But like every great sort of psychopath, he has to play the role of, I'm a family man, I do all this stuff. But he's not. He's just wants to win. And that's what I like about him, is that he's just clearly a lunatic.
There is something. I understand what he's saying. I mean, obviously at BT Sport, we can't go along with the fact that Jurgen Klopp is actually a psychopath, because I don't think he is. But there is a real will to win, isn't there, Lloyd? Yeah. I mean, aside from Man City, who wouldn't swap their manager for Jurgen Klopp?
No, there is a real desire to win with Jurgen Klopp. But also, you just see that he cares. Like, he cares about his players. He cares about the fans. And actually, I think with Jurgen Klopp, more so than any other managers, you actually see that for him, there's more to life than football. I mean, I know that when a few of his players have got injured, he's not interested in doing post-match interviews. He just wants to talk about the situation, and make sure that player's okay. So, he does want to win, but I actually think that he cares more about, the people. And that's why Liverpool have loved him. And that's why he loves Liverpool. And that's why his wife has basically persuaded him to stay. And I think actually she's going to be on the coaching staff. I'm not sure if that's an exclusive here on BT Sport, but she's going to be there every Saturday and Tuesday in the outfit. And they say, he was talking about him there till 2026. His next move and his next signing after that, I'd love to see him Prime Minister of Great Britain, because I think he'll do an absolute much better job than the clowns we've got in charge at the moment. You know what I mean? He can take over. He'll be the next Prime Minister after Lawrence Fox in 2026. So that's the way I'd like to see it happening. And I, for one, would certainly vote for Jurgen Klopp.
So I think the Cabinet would definitely be motivated, wouldn't they? They would run through walls for him. I mean, I should say, by the way, on BT Sport, we are showing the Liverpool v Spurs game on Saturday evening. Titanic match. Elliot, Lloyd mentioned Ulla, his wife. He talked about her in the video. Apparently, she was serenaded on the concourse with I Feel Fine, which is the song they sing about him now. And she, apparently she went home and told Jürgen, we have to stay, and that he should sign the contract.
That didn't happen. That's just a story that Klopp's going to put out in his little path of how much I'm loved, that Lloyd is absolutely fallen for.
Yes.
That people all seem to fall
sheep.
For. He is a man who he is the manager of one of the biggest football clubs in the world and is on for a quadruple. He is not just, oh, yes, we're having fun. He is an insane, we are drilling this until it works. Nobody is leaving until we get this right. And I don't care how much you cry or scream about it. That's what he is. He's not, and then he comes up and he's like, oh, I better make up some story about my wife being sung at by some Liverpool fans. That's not what he's like. He's clearly just driven.
I thought Elliot was more of a football romantic. I mean, is it just the fact then that Steven Gerrard is not quite ready yet? Is that what we're talking about?
I think, well, firstly, I think Elliot needs to hug his parents and just have a little bit of a reset. But yeah, I, you've got to look at the long-term plan. Like Steven Gerrard obviously has done a great job at Rangers, doing a very good job at Aston Villa. And you've seen that sometimes bringing in players at a club doesn't really work. I mean, Frank Lampard at Chelsea, didn't. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Manchester United didn't. And I think Liverpool don't want to fall into that trap. So, obviously they're just thinking about the here and now and getting that quadruple. And having Jurgen Klopp for them is going to be absolutely amazing. And then looking further afield, you have got Steven Gerrard, who will be in a much better and more experienced position. So, who knows?
Yeah, maybe it's the timing is everything. Yeah. And what about the fans, Elliot? Do you find it a little bit annoying when you hear about special European nights at Anfield? Or do we just, in the end, go, you know what? It is amazing down there sometimes.
Yeah, I was in Liverpool this last weekend, and it is a great city. I love
he's definitely got a tour show.
Tour tickets, Lloyd.
Yeah, he's definitely got a tour show there.
But I would also say about Liverpool is what they are great at is cheering themselves on for doing exactly what everybody else is doing. they are amazing going, there's just no other city like it. And you're like, no, there is. There's about 10.
Are they Jamaican?
Just in this country. Stop trying to get me cancelled for my clear and precise accent.
You keep doing it, mate.
It's 10 in the morning, Lloyd. I've not even had my coffee yet, and I'm expected to get the accent spot on.
You keep doing it, mate. LloydGriffith.com.
Are you promoting yourself of my...
We're going to Spain next, so Lord knows what sort of accent we're getting now. In Spain.
Colombian. Yeah. It's close enough.
In Spain, Real Madrid won La Liga, and that means that Carlo Ancelotti becomes the first manager to win the title in each of the top five European leagues, Germany, Spain, France, England and Italy. He also, we know, won the Champions League as a player and a manager. Lloyd, obviously a truly great manager. I'm not sure he has a style of play that is identifiable, although it's possible that I just don't know what I'm talking about. Juventus ultras made a banner when he first joined saying a pig can't coach. I mean, they got it a bit wrong, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. But also, I think, and I mean this with quite a lot of respect, if you put me in charge of Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Juventus, Chelsea, and who's the other one? Paris Saint-Germain.
With
that amount of money, I would absolutely win each and every one of those leagues. Like, he's not...
He,
yeah, 100%. And also, like, if you look at the teams
he
has managed... No, I'm not insane, mate. I'll be in Spain. That's so cheesy. I'm so sorry, but I'm just going to crack on if that's all right. So the amount of money that he was given at these clubs, like Chelsea in the heyday of, all their absolute billions. Bayern Munich, they are one of the most financially secure clubs. I mean, it's insane that people will go, oh, he's great. He's not doing it with Crystal Palace, is he? Do you know what I mean? He's not doing it with Udinese, where he tried to, I think. And he's not doing it with, another German team, Schalke. Do you know what I mean? So he's I was thinking of Werder Bremen actually was the team I wanted to go to, but I couldn't quite get it. Anyway, yeah. So he's doing it with teams that have got some of the best footballers in the world with the access to essentially unlimited funds. So yes, he's a good manager, but it's easy when you're just given those resources and those players in my eyes. And I've got lovely eyes.
Elliot, I mean, do you think you could manage one of those teams as well, by the way? But
It would all fall apart within minutes if either one of us, you'd walk into
yourself,
the dressing room.
Speak to yourself.
And the minute, Lloyd, I know you, you'd turn up late. You'd then tell a story about how someone follows you on Instagram and that would be your rousing speech.
No. I'd turn up on time and ask them all to follow me on Instagram. Okay, That's what I'd do.
And then you'd go, oh, by the way, lads, I'm playing in goal this weekend.
Yeah.
I fancy a run out. That is a fair point, Lloyd. The thing is, Elliot, everyone says that he's funny, Ancelotti. I like the idea of a funny manager. I've heard lots of people talk about this.
He is entertaining, and I like the fact that he there's like an inherent coolness to him as well.
Yes.
There's just something very cool about him, and it is incredible to be the first manager to do that in all five. You've got to be up there with one of the best managers of all time. And there is a point to what Lloyd's saying, that you doing it with all those size clubs, yes, but you still have to win the leagues. It's not easy.
I mean, Lloyd, let's put aside the fact that you think you can manage at the top level in Europe for a minute and talk about Carlo Ancelotti. He seems like a good guy, doesn't he? You'd lend him your lawnmower, wouldn't you?
Well, I live in a two-bed flat in London, mate. So, I mean, just the idea of having a lawnmower is a pipe dream at the moment. I've got a couple of plants I can lend him if he wants to miss them. But, he does seem like a nice guy. And you can see from that bus parade that all the Real Madrid players, you know, loved him. And I think that when he left Everton, people were obviously gutted because he was getting, you know, quite good stuff out of the players, even though his win rate was only about 44%. Whereas everywhere else he's gone with those millions and those players, it's been about 60-70. But yeah, no, he does seem a nice guy. And I think that does make a difference. I mean, if you've got like nice, funny managers, they do seem to do well. You know, you've got Jurgen Klopp and...
He looks like the kind of guy who comes out, he sees you like you're across the bar, comes over, you know him a little bit, pays for a round of drinks, but then leaves, doesn't even get himself one. He's like, no, don't worry, I've sorted it. He's just that, he's got that sort of just cool vibe about him, don't he?
I agree. I totally agree. I want to be like him when I'm his age, which is in a year and a half. It's also worth noting, by the way, that with this league title for Madrid, Eden Hazard has won La Liga as many times as Cristiano Ronaldo. And while we're on the subject of splurging large amounts of money and not getting the return you were hoping for, and as comedians have all been to the Edinburgh Festival, we know exactly what we're talking about. Who has been the biggest waste of money ever? Elliot, I'll start with you. Any particular favourites?
Pepe.
You know what? I can't disagree, but he might come good at some point. But £72 million, I think we definitely played over the odds.
At some point. It's an insane... That and one of Chelsea's yearly, let's spend £100 million on someone who used to play for us. Oh no, he's not any good. Get him out of the club. They do that on a yearly basis where their fans celebrate someone who's... What, didn't they used to play for you? Yeah, but it's great business because we got 400 million quid and then in 4 months they're like, that man is the embodiment of everything wrong with this club. Get him out. And they do that on a yearly basis.
Romelu Lukaku, who I think is the latest, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink was very funny. He was talking about him and he said, well, the thing is, you do have to run about. Which is great, really. Lloyd, what about you? What have you got?
Well, there's a number. Obviously, Torres going from Liverpool to Chelsea was a big one. Yes. Coutinho going from Liverpool to Barcelona.
125 million quid, yeah, Coutinho.
And then Alexis Sanchez from Arsenal to Man United. Everyone thought, oh, he's going to be amazing. And he was awful. But for me, growing up, I'm a little bit older than Elliot. Euro 96, there was a footballer called Karol Poborski who tore up the tournament playing for Czech Republic. Man United spent, I think, like £3.5 million, which in today's money is about £7 billion. And Man United bought him. Everyone was like, he's going to be absolutely amazing. He was so average. It was so disappointing. And everyone was like, this guy's going to tear up the Premier League. And I think he tore a hamstring. And that was, you know, for me, one of the biggest flops growing up.
Yeah, I mean, there are different levels of this. Like you say, £3.5 million back then was quite a lot of money. Chelsea also, by the way, do tend to break strikers, as you mentioned, Elliot. I mean, it's not just Lukaku, it's Fernando Torres, Andre Shevchenko as well. What about Harry Maguire, Elliot? £80 million.
Harry Maguire is, I know people are going to dislike me for this. Harry Maguire is an odd one. I think he's the embodiment of everything that's wrong with United at the moment, but it's almost not his fault. I always think a good football club should be buying a player that I've not heard of, that I'm like, who's this? And then they're brilliant because the scouts and everything know about the system. I shouldn't, and that's what United are acting like I act when I play FIFA. And I just buy someone I kind of had heard of.
I like that thinking, except I hadn't heard of Pepe before he came to the Arsenal, and that hasn't quite worked out, as you said.
Oh, you certainly heard of him now.
All right, let's have a quick game of Who Am I? I give you some clues, and you try and guess who I'm talking about. I was born in 1979. I played for 5 different clubs, 4 in England, 1 in Spain. I played 89 times for England, scoring 40 goals. And I won 1 league title, 3 league cups and a UEFA Cup in my club career, as well as a Ballon d'Or and Sports Personality of the Year. Who am I? You and our guests will find out after the break, when we'll also be talking Palace with Elliot and Grimsby with Lloyd. Don't go changing. Part 3 of The Football's On with luge enthusiast Lloyd Griffith and winner of the best marrow at the Suffolk County Fair, Elliot Steele. So, before the break, I asked, who am I? I was born in 1979 and I played for 5 different clubs, 4 in England and 1 in Spain. I played 89 times for England, scoring 40 goals. And I won 1 league title, 3 league cups and a UEFA Cup in my club career, as well as a Ballon d'Or and Sports Personality of the Year. Who am I? Elliot, I'm going to come to you first because I've got a feeling you know this answer.
It's Michael Owen.
It is Michael Owen. What was it that gave it away? Was it the 40 goals for England, by the way?
The Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, and, the Ballon d'Or, of course. You'd have got that, Lloyd, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, I'm good friends with Michael Owen, so it felt a bit unfair. It felt a bit unfair, and, I mean, winning that. But, you know, Elliot, he's only 17, isn't he? So I thought, you know, give him the easy fodder.
Elliot, let's talk a little bit about Crystal Palace. Your dad was on the show the other week, and notwithstanding the result, I was talking to him about how much fun you had at Wembley for the semi-final. I was there as well, by the way. You must be enjoying the season.
Yeah, it's been great. We're in the exact same position we've always been in, but we've got Conor Gallagher, so that's what's made it fun. But we're actually playing nice football. We feel for the first time ever that it's not just staying in the Prem. There's a place to go. There's an idea of moving on something. And we are quite a small club, but we're also not anymore. And you notice this when you start playing, you know, in the FA Cup, when you're getting drawn against teams in the lower leagues and they're excited to play you, and you realise, oh, we're no longer just little Crystal Palace will come 15th or 14th. Teams are actually quite taking us a little bit seriously now and see us as a threat.
What about Vieira? Elliot, I mean, you're talking about the fact that you've moved up from being just little Crystal Palace. You've got someone who could possibly be one of the great managers at some point, and obviously was a great player. Must be inspiring for the youngsters.
It's very weird to see him there still. You do go, this is one of the greatest ever midfielders who's now managing our side. Now, I will admit, at the beginning of the season, I was like, oh, this could be a disaster putting him in charge, because I was expecting Vieira in the tunnel with Roy Keane Vieira to come along. And I still think there is a bit of that in him, which I like.
Of course there is. Of course.
Which I like. But he seems... What I really like about Vieira is whenever something goes wrong, he's able to rectify it quite quickly. So if we go 1-0 down in the first half, you don't go, oh no, we're 1-0 down. You go, no, he knows the game. He's going to have identified what's going wrong, who's doing what, that, where. And that's what I really like about him as a manager. Although, I now do need to hope Arsenal get Champions League and keep getting Champions League with Arteta. Because let's be honest, he is destined to go there. That's what it is. That's what it is. Unless he does something amazing with us and then just goes, he's Palace now.
Enjoy him while you can. Because obviously, you know, we have an affinity with Patrick Vieira. As for the fans, Lloyd, that atmosphere at Selhurst Park is really something, isn't it? And you don't get that at Premier League grounds sometimes.
No. And I think there's certain grounds, especially in London, I have to say, where the atmosphere is electric because it's, you know, you're in there. You haven't got these IKEA stadiums that are built on a B road, you know what I mean, on the outskirts of some city. These are football stadiums that are within terraced houses that you're on top of.
In the community.
In the community. You're on top of them. So, like, you know, Selhurst Park, Loftus Road, Charlton, do you know what I mean? It's, you've got these, yeah, these stadiums that just feel like proper stadiums. So, yeah, Selhurst Park, you know, I'll often go there just to watch Palace because, again, you just feel like it's a proper atmosphere. And, you know, the further away you are from a Frankie and Benny's, the better atmosphere at a football club, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
As for Grimsby, Lloyd, it looks like they're on course for the playoffs in the National League. They're in the playoff positions at the moment. Are you having fun? Because I remember talking to you on this show and you were saying about how much fun you're having in the National League, but I'm assuming at this point you want to go up.
Yeah, we absolutely do want to go up, but it has been a roller coaster. We were top of the league for about 2 months and then we basically lost 10 on the bounce. And now we're back, I think, second best form in the National League. There's a lot of good teams there. You've got Wrexham who are literally throwing money at the situation.
It's unbelievable,
but it's working. Like, you know, they've got Paul Mullin, they've got Ollie Palmer, and Ollie Palmer only signed in January. He's like the fourth top scorer in the league. It's unbelievable. So, you know, we do want to go up. We do need to get 4 points out of the last nine in order to confirm playoffs. We've got an amazing fan base. So even if we have to play an away leg in the weird little playoff system they play in the National League, then, you know, I feel that our fans will get behind them. And I would absolutely love to get out of this league, but we've got stiff opposition in the form of whoever it is, you know what I mean? Stockport, Wrexham, Halifax, Solihull Moors, Notts County. Do you know what I mean? They're going to be big games. Yeah. I can't quite believe I've just said Solihull Moors could be a big game. What has this become? Oh, God.
Yeah, you got Boreham Wood next week as well, which is a massive game.
Is it?
Lloyd, one more question before we move on. Is something about supporting a team in the lower reaches of football pyramid and you know some of the players? I mean, I'm sure they don't get back to you on Instagram, but you know what I mean.
Oh, they get back to me on Instagram. Don't you worry about that, mate. Do you know what I mean? They don't all follow me. I mean, I'm looking at you, Michy Ifete, but, you know, the majority of them, you know, it is great. You know what I mean? And all joking aside, there is a real community feel about supporting Grimsby Town. You know, they go into the crowds, they give them their shirts, you know, there's no disconnect that you do see
sometimes.
They just
want them to get washed, don't they?
Yes, that's it. Do you mind bringing that back on Thursday? Is that all right? Do you know what I mean? 30 degrees. And if you've got any non-bio, that'd be great because I've got a bit of, you know, irritable shoulders. But there is just like a real community feel about supporting a lower league team that you don't really get at the Premier League. And, you know, for that reason, absolutely love it. And it's just mad when you are in, you know, at these grounds where you are, I'm not going to say spitting distance because I don't want to encourage anyone, but you are literally within, you know, an arm's length of the players. So it does give it a different feel, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Now, on this show last week, Ivo Graham expressed his doubt about whether Swindon could make the playoffs in the promised land that Lloyd would call the Sky Bet League 2. Here's what Ivo had to say.
The fact is we've been scintillating in about sort of five or six games this season against some of the best teams in the league, no less. We've been, you know, promising in about 10 games and we've been pure dross in 15 to 20 of them, and that's not good enough to go up. And most cruelly, having, I'd say, started to look like we'd given up and packing for the metaphorical beach from about sort of March, just every time we think we've got the sort of suitcase packed, we pull a result like our Good Friday hammering of Harrogate out of the bag, which just keeps us in touch. So now we've got three games left, and if we win them all, we'll make it in. But really, if we beat Forest Green, it's just going to extend the torture of us then, you know, not beating Walsall on the final day or something.
Yes, that was Ivo Graham on this show last week. It turns out they beat Forest Green and then Barrow at the weekend and they're currently sitting in the final playoff spot. Isn't this exactly what football does, Elliot? It gives you hope, dashes it, and then just when you're ready to let go and concentrate on tennis and cricket, says, nope, you're not done yet.
Yeah, it's a truly horrible way to live your life. It really is. My life would be so much happier if I didn't follow football. I still am not over that Euro final. Every time it's sort of brought up a bit of it, I think about it every now and then, and I go, "Why am I sad today?" And I go, "Oh yeah, that penalty shootout." And I have to make up that I'm depressed or something. I have to actually create a mental health problem and pretend that I've got one and be like, I can't have the shame of going, no, some guy I don't know missed a penalty.
I know exactly what you mean. Lloyd, this also shows, does it not, that fans are too emotionally involved to be objective about their own team. I mean, Ivo got it wrong there.
Yeah, 100%. You know what I mean? And, you know, even me saying we only need 4 points from the last nine, now in my head I'm going, why have I just said that on TV? Why have I just said that on TV? Because we're not, you know, and then I'll blame myself if we don't get those 4 points. You know what I mean? If I wear the wrong shirt or the wrong pants to a football match, you know what I mean? I'm absolutely losing it. Knowing that we potentially could get to a playoff final and it could be decided on penalties already, I've lost fingernails. So it's, as Elliot said, yeah. I'd be a lot healthier, not healthier, mentally healthier, if I didn't support a football team.
But there we go. Hopelessly addicted. Now, for our little quiz, where we ask three questions about this week's action, followed by a couple of supplementaries on subjects chosen by our panellists. It's possible there may be some grumbling from Lloyd about fairness or something or other. There usually is. We'll see how we go. Elliot, we'll start with you. Okay, question one. Everton beat Chelsea on Sunday despite the London side having 78% possession. Which team holds the Premier League record for most possession in a game? Is it A, Manchester United, B, Arsenal, C, Liverpool, or D, Manchester City?
I believe it's Liverpool.
You believe incorrectly. It is Manchester City. 83%.
Obviously it's Manchester City.
Versus Swansea in 2018. It's ridiculous. Okay. Question two. Newcastle hosted Liverpool in the early kickoff on Saturday. Now, these two are quite familiar with each other as they've been playing against each other since 1893. How many times have they played each other since that first meeting? This is in all competitions. You have a choice of 183, 189, 202 or 213.
Could I hear the choices again, please?
Yes, you can. Like it makes any difference.
It does make a difference. It makes a huge difference. All right, then. Well, if that's the vibe of the quiz, of like it makes a difference from the quizmaster, B. We'll just go with B, even though I don't remember what that is.
Well, you're wrong. It's A. 183.
Well, it doesn't matter anymore, does it?
Anyway, obviously you got that wrong. It's 183. Liverpool have 89 wins to Newcastle's 50, and 44 of the games have been drawn. Okay, question three. Listen carefully, Elliot. I'm saying this only once. Carlo Ancelotti has become the first man to win Europe's top five leagues as a manager. How many times has he won the league as a player? Is it one, two, three, or six?
I'm gonna go with one.
No, he's won it three times, Elliot. He won with Roma in 1983 and then twice with Milan in 1988 and 1992. Now, at this point, Elliot...
Let's go, that all happened like 10 years before I was born. That's great. Let's just pick questions up. Let's just ask questions from when I wasn't even, not only not following football, didn't even exist.
That's not how quizzes work, mate. That's not how GCSEs work either, mate. Oh, you give me Shakespeare. I wasn't even around when he was, you know.
Yeah.
No, but I can follow the works of Shakespeare. I'm not there relentlessly looking at. I've got other things to get on with than what Carlo Ancelotti's been up to since I was born.
All right. Well, this is going well for you, Elliot. Bonus questions. Would you like either managers as players or longer serving players?
What does it matter? It doesn't matter, does it? Just managers as players. Let's go with managers as players.
Managers as players. All right, here we go. Which current Premier League manager has the most club honours as a player? We have included Community Shields and European equivalent. I think you should know this one. Current Premier League manager.
Won the most as a...
As a player.
As a player.
Yeah.
Paddy Vieira, Patrick Vieira.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. 18. Two ahead of Guardiola and four ahead of Frank Lampard and Antonio Conte. One to Elliot. Okay, second one. How many of the current Premier League managers never played professional football?
Ooh.
I'm going to say four.
Oh, it's unlucky. It's three. Who are you thinking?
Ah, I was going to say three and then I thought, add one, you all have forgotten. Yeah.
It's Thomas Frank, Bruno Lage, and Roy Hodgson, who played a lot of non-league, apparently. So three of them. So Elliot there scored one out of five. It was quite a moody one, though, wasn't it, as well? But it was enjoyable for the rest of us. After the break, Lloyd Griffith will take his turn in the hot seat. See you in a short while. Welcome back to the final part of the show. Before the break, Elliot Steele scored one out of five. Now it's the turn of Lloyd Griffith.
How did you see his little chuckle there?
No, so I've got a continuous cough.
Oh God, I hope you get nothing in it. I would be so happy.
Well, okay, let's see how we go. The National League is really heating up in terms of the hunt for promotion to the Football League. But what year, Lloyd, did it change its name from the Conference to the National League? 2015, 2012, 2017 or 2010?
2012.
Well, I'm sorry, Lloyd. The answer is 2015.
That's a shame.
There you go. Okay, question two. Norwich City had their relegation from the Premier League confirmed when they lost to Aston Villa. But how many times have they been relegated from the top flight? We're not just talking about the Premier League here. Is it six, 8, 10 or 12?
I'm going to go with 10, if that's okay, Ian.
That is okay, Lloyd, and you got it right. Elliot,
no.
Gutted here. 10. 6 in the Premier League years and a further 4 from Division 1. They've never been relegated from the second tier of English football, though, so that's something to aspire to, I guess. Question 3. This weekend saw another Old Firm derby, with it being considered one of the fiercest derbies in the world. But I want to know, of the four derbies I'm about to give you, which one has the most players who have played for both sides? So it's the Old Firm derby, El Clasico, the Derby della Madonnina, which is the Milan derby, or the North London derby. So which derby has had the most players who played for both sides?
Do you know what? Really good question. Okay.
That's a great question.
I'm going to say it's basically because you just wouldn't get that at the Old Firm. Like, you just wouldn't get that.
No.
I'm going to say North London because I've got very little information on the other two. So I'm going to go with North London Derby, if that's okay, Ian.
Yeah, no, again, that is okay, Lloyd, but it's wrong, unfortunately. It's the Milan.
Yeah, Milan.
Derby.
I knew it was Milan.
39.
I knew it was Milan.
39 players have played for both AC and Inter. 38 have played for Barca and Real. 20 have played for both Glasgow sides. Only 15 have played for both Spurs and Arsenal. I wonder why, having seen the reception Sol Campbell got when he went back to Spurs. Now, for his bonus questions, Elliot had managers as players. So Lloyd gets longest serving players.
Brilliant. It's good that I get a choice.
Okay, it's currently 1-1. Lloyd, longest serving players. All right, first one. Mark Noble, otherwise known as Mr. West Ham, is the longest serving player at a club in Europe's top five leagues. Who is the second longest serving player in the Premier League? Not easy, this.
Tim Krul.
Good effort. Not right. It is Seamus Coleman. He's been at Everton since 2009 when he was signed by David Moyes. Still 1-1. All right. You're going to love this one as well. Which team in the top four divisions in English football has the longest serving player that is still playing?
I think it's, what's his chops? Is it Coppinger at Doncaster?
No, it's not. It's Dean Lewington, son of Ray at MK Dons. You know, he played for them when they were Wimbledon. He's been at the club for 19 seasons.
Well, then he needs to have a word with himself, okay?
It's impressive. So, that was 1-1. It was, I think you should both be happy with that. We'll try and get you back on next season.
All right. Well, last time I got zero, so that's actually an improvement.
Yeah, that is an improvement, Elliot. You're getting better, okay? You okay now? Are you over what happened earlier?
I'm actually quite happy with that, all things considered.
All right, then. Well, let's talk about referees. Three Premier League referees, Martin Atkinson, John Moss and Mike, look at me, Dean, are all retiring at the end of the season. I'm not quite sure what happens to referees when they no longer officiate. Hopefully it's something that's mildly but persistently painful. Lloyd, what do they do in retirement? Do you think that's particular jobs, driving examiners, special constables, stuff like that?
Well, I'm sure they probably sent like a pamphlet from the Referees Association of stuff to do in retirement, like most people do. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think I've got a solution. I think Premier League referees should go down to the National League, you know, where Grimsby play, and they should do a couple of seasons there. It's almost like altitude training. Do you know what I mean? They've played at such a high intensity.
That's true, yeah.
Let's come down into the National League where, let's be honest, the pace is a lot slower. So you'll be able to just kind of like real acclimatise before you get to civilian life. And also, a lot of the pitches we play, it's like playing on an allotment. So you kind of get that feel of being on a veg patch. And I'm mainly looking at you, Barnett, from this weekend, which it literally was like playing on moss. So I think if you come down to the National League, you get, you know, that less intensity, and you get to play on things that you can literally grow marrows on.
I like the idea of that, Elliot. Do you think maybe they should go further down again? Maybe do the under eights when they're in their 70s or something?
Oh yeah, they should have as big a fall from grace as possible. I think that's what we can all agree on. It's very clear that these referees, they've retired in the same way that when a politician resigns after they've been caught, you know, smuggling arms or buying narcotics or something. You know, I think it's time for my career to come to an end. And he goes, yeah, you've been awful at your job. So, you know, it's that version of retiring is the way I see it. I don't think, you know, the officiating in the Prem is dreadful.
Oh, hey, I mean, at this point you're saying that, but Lloyd is going to say, wait until you see some of the refs in the National League.
Like, honestly, Premier League referees, I dream about having a Premier League referee at conference level. This isn't even like saying, oh, it's like when the supply, it's like the supply teacher's children's dog is refereeing like the National League. It's absolutely awful. Also as well, I was at a service station the other week, Peterborough Services, I'm not showing off. I went to the Costa Coffee in there. There was a referee there because he was in his tracksuit. I'm not sure if he recognised me, but he gave a little nod to me. I was like, oh, hello, mate. He was like, all right. I went, where are you refereeing today? He just looked at me and went, sorry, mate, can't tell you. I'm like, what? Wait, mate, you are not James Bond. You're wearing an EA Sports tracksuit. It's like bright purple. Like trying to think, is Daniel Craig ordering a slim mocha? Unbelievable.
It's very odd. Well, anyway, they're off and I don't think we'll miss them. That's it for the show. You can listen to this as a podcast. Just search for The Football's on all the usual podcast outlets. As I said earlier, on BT Sport on Saturday evening is a huge game. Liverpool v Spurs at Anfield. Coverage starts at 7 o'clock. Thanks to our guests, Elliot Steele and Lloyd Griffith. We're back next week. Thanks for watching.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.